a lot of different things. So,
well, there you go.
There it is.
Yeah.
Everyone, welcome you all to Drive Through HR. And as William said, this is Nisha and William talking to our wonderful guest, Danny Gitchnet. Hey, Danny, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure. Hey,
it's an honor for us to have you here with us today. Hey, Danny, did I pronounce your name correctly?
So the last name is pronounced Gutnecht.
Gutnecht. Okay, thank you for telling me that. I'm sorry. I mispronounced it. So, Danny, if you can do us a favor, it would be fantastic if you can talk a little bit about yourself so that our Drive Through HR family can know more about you.
Yeah, well, my name is Danny Gutnecht. I've actually been in recruiting and personnel industry since 1996. I started at a small recruiting company, left a marketing firm to actually go to work for a recruiting company, and that company grew to be fairly large recruiting physicians. I ended up starting a technology recruitment company out of it. But most of my life has really been spent being an entrepreneur. I've been out, you know, working on engagement problems and really just trying to, you know, make the world a better place. I know that that's a cliche saying, but, you know, hey, that's why entrepreneurs go into business.
That's right. So what's keeping you up at night these days? Or let me ask you, what's keeping your clients up at night these days? What are
that's
you looking great, from your clients?
Yeah, that's a great question. Not a lot keeps me up anymore, except for the fact that my clients are kept up at night. One of the big problems that we see in the industry today is that everyone has the same buzzwords and everybody is approaching recruitment, retention, engagement, really with the same tools, the same access points, and so there's no separation. And so the problem that we've been working on is very simple. It's, you know, we believe that retention begins at attracting. In other words, what frame of mind is someone in when they approach your organization about a job? How do they think about that? And really, what can organizations do to stand out? The average HR professional is inundated with tons of tools, lots of access points. You have LinkedIn, Facebook, job boards, all these different venues, and you're competing with everybody else. And so how do you go in there and add value? And that's really what Pathways TV has focused on and provides a dynamite solution.
What's your take on passive candidates versus active candidates?
Yeah, so passive candidates, as described in the industry, is really just people that aren't looking. And let me give you a really good example of a passive candidate so that there's kind of discernment there. And I know that this is a gray area that everybody deals with. So active candidates basically could go out on the internet and they look, they're actively seeking a new role. Well, one of our customers said, you know, hey, how's this for a definition? We were recruiting a couple executives. We were using this, we taught them this essence mining way to go about actually touching passive candidates. And a couple of the candidates said, you know, it's interesting, the way that you approached me from your organization with your brand did so in a very human way, but more importantly, what it did was I was sitting over here in this other company and I thought I was trapped. And the reason that I thought I was trapped is I had most of the things that were really important to me, but some of my values just weren't in alignment. And I didn't really have the tools to step out and see what that was. And the way that your organization approached me allowed me to ask questions about my career that I hadn't thought to ask. Therefore, I was interested in your company and your company only because of the way that you approached me. And so that's a long answer to the passive-active candidate, but the passive candidate, if you look at the Gallup polls today, over 70% of people in organizations are considered unengaged. And so you have to think that, well, while the online job board active candidates represent, you know, maybe 10% or less than that, most of HR, most of recruiting is going after that 10% pool, and everybody's diving in with the same buzzwords. When it comes to passive candidates, you have to be able to really approach them with a conversation, and it's got to be unique to your organization. That's the way I define it.
Let me get your reaction on something, and it's a kind of a debate I'm having with myself about the treatment of active versus passive. And what I see in the marketplace is with active candidates, we have a prove your worth mentality, meaning as a company, we tend to kind of take a position, a power position that says, we're worthy, are you worthy? And with active candidates, we take a kind of the ass opposite approach where, you know, you're worthy, are we worthy? Where it's mm-hmm. basically we're trying to prove to them, no, really, we're a great brand, we're a great company, you would love it here. You know, first of all, do I have that right as I'm looking at the market and the kind of the approach, the general approach to passive versus active?
That's a huge problem because you have to look at it also from the HR perspective, which in human resources, not only do you want to go out and you want to find the great passive candidates, but you also want to vet out quickly folks that just don't match the profile or people in the industry that really can't figure out what they want. And so I think that you're touching on – this was a phenomenal question because I think that you're touching on something that's very important today. Outside of commodity – in terms of looking at your career from a commodity. And what I mean by that is that a lot of people see, you know, location, money, and then the skills as being the primary agent in making a job decision. And those are very important. But what's happening is, well, guess what? When you recruit the passive candidate, you have to recruit them on passions and values and alignment because you already know they match. So HR is kind of really tasked with this hard thing to do, which is, you know, we've got these big data points. You've got the entire internet, so you've got access to everybody in the world. Now what? And so I think your point exactly, it's like when somebody goes after somebody that's passive, they approach them a little bit more trepidly, and the reason for that is because the recruiter, the HR, everything else in your organization is geared towards filling a skill, and we're less confident in knowing how to sell the values or position the values or have a conversation based upon what the real themes of your culture are and why somebody should be there.
Well, that's right, Danny. And let me add, irrespective of if it is a passive candidate or an active candidate, the job that we have to do as an organization that we have to do, if it is a talent attraction needs, right? So what are you listening from your or hearing from your clients when it comes to what are some challenges that they have when it comes to, you know, talent attraction needs or fulfilling their talent attraction needs?
Right. And so one of the things that we're hearing from some of our best customers out there are, you know, hey, we're growing as a company. We really need great talent. And we can't take a traditional approach to recruitment and talent attraction simply because we're not going to separate ourselves. In addition to that, executives are kind of are coming to HR and say, well, how do we really grow and keep the dynamic of our culture intact, right? And so you've got a lot of people in the HR profession dealing with that right now. And so your point being is that they need, you know, people need a solution that's innovative, and kind of moves themselves apart. So let me back up slightly. Do me a favor, ask that question again, and because I've got another kind of another angle on that that might be really valuable here.
Well, as you said, you know what, there is no one size fits all, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are you listening from your clients when it comes to fulfilling their talent attraction needs? Is there something like very particularly some of them are very focused on candidate experience, some of them are very focused on employer branding, some of them might be confused, okay, we have a recruitment technology, but it has to be aligned with the employer branding, and recruiters should represent their employer brand. Do they face any kind of challenges or something like that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, if you go back to what I said initially, which was the buzzwords, right? And so you've got somebody, maybe a company like BE Aerospace, you know, they're in the aerospace industry, they need engineers, they need supply chain folks, you know, they need great minds, and just like the creative class. And everybody in that industry competes off of saying, hey, we are full life cycle development, or which is, you know, supposedly different from an engineer, yet everybody's selling that. We're innovative. Well, what does that really mean to you? And so the challenge that they have is, well, how do we separate ourselves from everybody else in the industry saying that we're innovative, right? That's the big challenge.
Alrighty. Danny, because of your background, your experience, and what you do with your clients, I'd like for you to break down kind of what is a great employer brand. And Nisha and I, you know, we know what a career site looks like. We know what a job site looks like. But, like, when you break it down, you've obviously looked at, at this point, probably hundreds, if not thousands, of employer brands out there. You know, you have a trained eye on what looks good, doesn't look good, et cetera. What are the elements that go into making a solid, successful employer brand?
Well, what a lot of people out there are doing right now are trying to funnel their employment brand through one message, and that's a big mistake because your employment brand has to be human. You really want it humanized. You want it to be able to connect. And if what's happening on social media hasn't really shown that people are interested in that authentic response, well, you start to have to ask the question, you know, what is an authentic response? And so that's over the past several years, we've interviewed over 5,000 people in the within organizations, and so engineering, software, medicine. And by going in with an interview, we do a process called essence mining. And what we do is we pull out key themes and what we call mantras. So a theme is something that says, okay, this is out of these 20 people that are working in this group, these are three or four values that they really cling to and themes that they're really energized and passionate about. And the second thing that we do is we help them express those themes as they are unique to that organization. And so how is that different from XYZ, or how is that different from what else is going on in the industry? And if you happen to videotape that, now you've got a way to approach the industry with an authentic response. And so instead of going out there and saying, hey, you know, we're the most innovative brand on the block, you know, a company like BE Aerospace can go out very well, and they're on the front end of this, and say, you know, we've got the, you know, passion to innovate and the power to deliver, but yet what does that mean to the people that we connect with? And so they're taking a video library of over 200 people within their organization through their leadership program within engineering and in their different locations, Seattle, Tucson, New York, places like that. And they're able to connect with people in their community authentically through this video and say, hey, I noticed that you were passionate about XYZ out on LinkedIn, or I noticed that you tweet a lot about this, or maybe they don't tweet or they're not much out on LinkedIn at all, but you have a conversation with a candidate and that candidate is passionate about several things. Well, now you're able to kind of quickly search your video library and send them information automatically that has those connecting points. Maybe I'm a female supply chain engineer that's interested in the Pacific Northwest, and I want to know how the leader, what leadership opportunities I have there. Well, you might as well hear it from straight from the people within your organization instead of having a recruiter try to pitch that or anything like that. Now every consecutive conversation around your brand is much deeper and much more fulfilling.
Great. What's your take on making employees as the brand ambassadors of an organization?
It's amazing. I mean, if you really figure out what makes your teams tick, if you look at the way, let me back up a little bit and quickly give you the history of the way things have gone. If you look at the late 1800s and early 1900s, we actually called the workforce labor. And we competed on effort. That's how companies got better. Well, as everybody started to figure out effort and built systems around that, we needed management. And so we started to call it human resources. And the way that you would compete then is on efficiency. Well, what's happened today is that technology's kind of leveled the playing field for everybody. And so if you look at the progression of that, you go, wow, now we have to compete off of our employees being engaged, which is a big word that you hear today, and creative. And so do they have creative problem-solving capacities? Well, it just so happens that those are faculties that need to be managed differently, and you need to recruit differently to those. And that's why there's so many challenges with, you know, talent acquisition, recruiting, and HR in finding and attracting those people, is because back through history, what's happened is now the curve has changed, and you're not able to just come out and say, hey, we need skills, and we need to be able to be efficient, and we need to be able to do this. Now we're kind of moving into this area to where it's like, oh, we've got to go get these great people. Well, what makes them tick? Well, they want to be fulfilled. They want to actually have some sort of meaningful purpose in their job. And that's a whole different infrastructure than what existed before. And it doesn't eliminate the old infrastructure. It just adds to it.
Correct. So as you're saying, attracting and recruiting, now the question is about how do we retain them?
So retention is, if you look at the research of Edward Deci, he's talked about, you know, how people are connected to organizations and how they really are self-motivated to come to work. And when you uncover and understand your value system within an organization or within a group or a team within your organization and uncover that and people understand that, Now they're more likely to be retained, and the reason being is that they understand what those drivers are. If you treat people as robots, right, you're going to end up with a very commoditized exchange, a very dispassionate exchange in the workforce. And so retention today, especially for your best professionals, starts all the way at attraction.
All righty, I got to get your take. This is William again. I got to get your take on the popular phrase in HR, hire slow and fire fast.
Yeah, well, good question. Name too many people that can afford to do that. If you look across at most organizations and you say hire slow, well, guess what? We're going to miss the next innovative cycle. We're not going to be able to compete. You can't tell people that need 200 engineers in a particular location, well, you have to hire slow. The reason that we got that phrase, that's a very interesting phrase, the reason that we got that phrase is because really before today or before now, people have not understood the individual infrastructure, but of value systems and what that really does to the human mind and, you know, reptilian brain and that sort of thing. And so if you kind of look at this, very simply, you know, neurologists, social psychologists, and psychologists are all saying, well, guess what? This stuff is real. Just like, you know, back in the day when we started figuring out engineering, we had mathematical theories, and we turn those theories into something that we could kind of hone in on. Well, today the next frontier is that. And so hire slow, great. Fire fast, well, if you fire too fast, that means one of two things. Either you're not making very good culture matches up front, or your organization really isn't digging in with the people, where you, and that causes you to lose credibility within within your community. And so I think hire slow, fire fast is kind of day over.
How do we assess, or what's your best approach for assessing for culture fit?
Well, I think that if you take your culture and you really put it out like it's an income statement, and what I mean by that is there are systems, there are ways to go approach your current staff. What was it? The term that everybody likes, it was in the Matrix and everything else. It's know thyself. And if you look at an organization and you say, what's the best way for us to know ourselves? What's a structure that can put some rigor into us understanding what our value system is as described by the people that work here? Then it becomes very simple. Because if you start to say, okay, this is what innovation means, and I'll give you the innovation example. At a company like BE Aerospace, innovation means that somebody might come into your office, put a tennis shoe on a desk, and say, I want that fabric in my airline seats, and I need this plane to deliver next July. Well, try to get that particular fabric into a 50,000-foot flame-retardant, federal aviation-approved deal is not going to be easy. And so a company like BE Aerospace has to invest a ton of time and energy into that innovation, and they can't really look back. Somebody like Expedia approaches, let's take a really big idea, something that will take a long time to build out, and what's the minimum thing that we can do? We can reduce it down to really something we can put up in a couple of weeks, see how it goes, and then slowly iterate the plan based upon the consumer activity. Two very different definitions of innovation, right? And so if you start to understand that that may be a theme in the organization, and this is how we describe it, if you're somebody that likes to jump in and to a project and be forced to figure it out, to kind of jump into a sea, not know where the island is, and go, boy, but it's going to be a great island when I get there, and it is when you get there, versus, you know what, this is a great idea, let's reduce it down to this, that's a whole different mindset, and that's a whole different individual that you're recruiting. Does that make sense?
Yes, indeed, Danny, and I want to stress on that particular point, as you said, hire slow and fire fast. And if you look at, the interweb everywhere, we are talking more on that hiring aspect, be it is a culture fit or right competencies. There are tons and tons of content when we say hiring and probably attracting the candidate. But how about, the exit process or firing? Because that person is still an employee at an organization, so we have to do a fair amount of what should I say, a justice, a proper justice to that person when he's leaving the organization, right?
Absolutely. I will give you a great case study, and I'll leave the name out. We're working with a customer that's got a myriad of locations across the United States, and we go in and we do this essence mining, and we do firmly believe in, how you attract somebody, what frame of mind are they in, and how you represent yourself early on in that process sets the stage for even when they're working there and after they're gone. And so when you talk about retention and you talk about exiting, we went out and we basically helped uncover the essence of each individual location, the values that they wrote on, and we found that one of the locations was operating off of a very different premise when they were bringing people in. And we went to them and we said, well, this really isn't who you are. This isn't, you're actually giving people the wrong message. And when we sat down and had a conversation about it, we decided, they said, hey, well, will you look at our exit interviews and see what you find? And what's interesting is that through the exit interviews, we found that most of their terminations, 80% of them, were all saying the same thing. And it was really just a problem of this piece of the organization not understanding that, guess what, who you are, expressing who you are in terms of the value system and how the environment reacts to that and how it, you know, giving that expression within the interview process would save you all of that upfront problem. And so they were trying to describe, hey, there's the way that we go about doing it. Well, it just so happens this is the way that the whole company goes about doing, but it wasn't the way that this location goes about doing it. And so the brand at that location was a little differently, and by trying to force some external structure on it that wasn't authentic, they were having significant turnover, and they had a market reputation, and they had problems with that. And now they've been able to correct that, and that's starting to get better.
Wonderful. Danny, we've got about 2.5 minutes left, and a question from the tweet stream is about employer referrals. So what's your take on how we should best leverage or best go about employee referrals?
Good question. Employee referrals and word of mouth is the best way to build an organization, obviously. But you have two problems with employee referrals. Sometimes you get somebody that's very excited to be in an organization. They don't understand that invisible infrastructure, that culture that exists. And you send that employee referral out, and then you get somebody coming to the organization that might not be such a good fit. But on the other hand, if you really kind of dig in and understand that and make that invisible infrastructure, your essence of the organization, transparent to everybody, then people are more easily able to uncover and think of people in their own network that fit that, right? Oh, I know Jane. She really loves the fact that it's a family feel, that people are able to do X, Y, Z here, you know, that people have each other's back. She also likes the fact that she gets to take a project on herself, and there's a lot of autonomy with that. Now it makes sense instead of just going, hey, I'm really energized by this organization, and going through a lot of hoops and kind of trying to figure that out, right?
Awesome. All right, about a minute and a half left. How can people best reach out to you? What's the best mode of communication with you?
Gosh, just go out to pathwaystv.com. We've got contact information out there, or they can simply send me an email, danny@pathwaystv.com.
Awesome. Brother, you were, as advertised, you were awesome, extremely knowledgeable, and we need to have you back on the show towards the end of the year. Thanks to everyone for listening to Drive Through HR today, letting us invade your ear hole here on Hump Day. Everyone have a wonderful afternoon, and we're going to roll out to a little audio slave. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Danny.
Hey, thanks a lot. Take care.
Thanks, Danny.